this Christmas, why not give someone a scratch card?
You know what's great is a last-minute gift.
Yeah.
Scratch cards.
We've got a tradition. We hide them in the crackers that we've made. So we put a scratch card in each of those.
Oh, wicked.
Do you scratch it all off at once, or do you do, like, section by
section?
Yeah,
bit by bit.
To build up the tension?
Yeah.
Sort of like, ooh, yeah. Next square, ooh. Yeah. It's such a great gift.
Yeah,
though.
It's fun.
Gift the scratch card with the National Lottery. Please gift responsibly. Rules and procedures apply. Plus must be 18 or over.
Acast helps you make the most of your podcasting content on your terms. If you're a creator or interested in starting a podcast, Acast offers a range of ways to make money from your craft. From advertising from well-known brands to offering podcast subscriptions with Acast Plus, you decide how to monetize your content. Visit acast.com to learn more and get started for free.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. John Scott, the All-Star man. John
Scott, the family man. Thank you for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. We're back on a Thursday. Tim, how are you doing? Sorry we missed Wednesday. Got a little hairy yesterday. Things got a little out of hand, but we're back making up for things on a Thursday. Tim's here. How you doing, my main man?
I'm good. John, you just turned 40. Are you got old age like pains yet? Aches and just like your shoulders hurt or your knees or things like that? Has that started happening?
Well, I don't think it's due to age. I think it's due to wear and tear. But yeah, constantly shoulders and knees and back. Why? Yeah. Are you starting to get those?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and it feels like someone kicked my ass while I was sleeping. And just like my back, especially, I work at home and I'm all hunched over. I'm trying to do stretches and stuff to work against it. But
got to get a new chair. Is your chair too comfortable?
It's very comfortable.
That's your issue. You got to get my chair is almost like two boards at a 90-degree angle.
Really?
And so it forces you to sit up straight because I had one of those office chairs and I'm not in my office chair very often, a couple hours a day, but I had a comfy one. My back was shot. So I got,
yeah, this is Lazy Boy made. It's like really nice.
And it's,
yeah,
not maybe good for you.
Maybe you're right.
Get a kitchen chair. I'm not even get a kitchen chair. Throw it in there. Put a pillow under your bum. You'll feel better. I'm telling you the truth. It works for me. Because then you're sitting up. You don't want to lean back because it's not comfortable.
Yeah, that and the stand-up desk, they say, works really well too.
Yeah, those are expensive though, aren't they? They're pricey.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, so I was hanging around last night. Just got done doing some stuff. I can't remember what. But then I got a text from Scott King. Friend of the show. I think he was on the show, wasn't he?
Yes and no.
I don't know what that means, but
he was there. He was there for Hosa, but he wasn't talking.
But I thought we interviewed him years ago.
I don't know. We might
like
have.
A Chicago guy, because who cares? He was a beat writer in Chicago when I was there. I think it was for the Tribune. Might have been for ESPN. He got axed.
NBC.
Fired. NBC. Close. He gets fired. And then he's kind of just floating out there. Like Tim alluded to, he's somehow linked with Marian Hossa. So we touched base. He's like, hey, we want to get Hossa on your show. He's doing this big book promotion tour. By the way, everybody's writing books. Him, Volpatti. We're just a part of this media circus everybody does, which ticks me off too, because they get us. And then you find out after the fact, oh, you've done this and this already. Oh, what a waste. But Tim wants to do it. And I always say no. But he still wants to do it. So anyways, all that aside, he sends me a message last night about Hugh Jackman talking about me. Cause I guess this Scott King is like a celebrity profiler now. I don't know how he rolls his sports acumen into the Hollywood sphere, but apparently they're very similar. So he's interviewing Hugh Jackman and he asks Hugh Jackman, hey, I heard that you almost played John Scott. And he was like, yeah, I did. And so I told many, many people this because I was all jacked up because Hugh Jackman is an excellent actor. I really like him, you know, respect him outside of the acting sphere. Just a good guy. He's had the same wife forever, which is rare in Hollywood. I respect that. He goes on and talks about me, Tim. Did you watch the whole interview? Because it was a great answer. One of the few answers, I think, how do I word this? I've never heard someone give this answer about my story. And not that I search for it, but I've heard people talk about my story a lot. How it's like, oh, the underdog, this and that. I was blown away by his answer. What did you see it and what did you think of it?
Yeah, I watched the clip that he shared. I don't think I watched the whole thing, but yeah.
What do you mean you don't think you did? You're giving very vague answers. It's either you did or you didn't. He was on the show or he wasn't. Did you or didn't you?
I might have. There's really no way.
It was last night. Like I sent it to you last night. It's either you did or you did. Tim's like a lawyer where he doesn't give a distinct answer. I may have thought about watching it possibly.
Yes. I did not watch the whole thing, but I did watch
Thank
the clip
you.
About,
Finally an answer.
About you. About okay. you. And it's cool because Scott asked him about you and he said, yeah, that was a great story. And it almost happened. I wanted to play him. It didn't work out. And he kind of said, what about the role? Was it like the tough guy, the hockey angle? And he goes, no, it's something completely different. This is his answer, quote unquote. Not so much the tough guy. I liked who he was as a person. I like his commitment to his family and the underdog angle. And also the idea that he had been cast in a role and made a living in this role, but there was a dream underneath. Underneath that, there was a dream of being a great hockey player, not just an enforcer. And all of a sudden he got that moment. And then it's that age old question. Am I good enough to fulfill my dream? It's like poetry.
It's funny as I'm watching him say this, I'm just like, did I really think that? Or did I just collect a paycheck and just like punching guys in the face? Because I'm just sitting there like, was I really that driven? Did I really have that, you know, intentions, or did I care at all about being a superstar? But I guess I did. Everybody wants to be the, you know, the goal scorer, the best player on the team, other than just the big, you know, goon that goes out and punches people in the face. But it was kind of neat. It was kind of, and then you look at it, it's like, man, Hugh Jackman's talking about me right now. Like he's a legit, I don't know if he's A-list anymore, but he's a legit superstar. He's up in the, you got to give him top 20. Like male actors up there who's just like, okay, he's a box office, punch your ticket. He's going to make you some do-re-mi. And he was almost going to play me. Ugh, frustrating.
Well, and the cool thing was he didn't even get pitched the script, I don't think. I remember the story when it happened, like 2018, 2019, when that Radio Lab interview came out about you, which is an NPR podcast. And he heard that like driving in his car. And then he like went out and talked to his agent about the movie rights and who, if that was being made. So like, it's not like he got pitched the story. He heard it. He's like, okay, this got to be a movie and I want to play it. That's pretty cool.
It is cool. But I hate talking about me, but it is neat when Hugh Jackman's kind of waxing poetically about you and saying how he liked you as a person and your family kind of stuff. So it was good. Thanks.
Did you show Danielle that you care about it?
Nah, she doesn't care about that stuff. I didn't even show her. You know what? I would show her and she'd be like, why are you showing me this garbage? She's like, your head's big enough as it is. Like, stop. We don't need this.
The sink is full of dishes. Go work on that.
Yeah, the septic tank is still backed up. How's that working out? I'm like, I don't know. Every time I flush the toilet, I'm just like, I did laundry last night. I was like, oh gosh, it's going to back up into the house. I'm hoping to get the spring. That's all I want because I can. It's flooding my yard. But I live on a hill, so it's just draining down the hill. My wood pile smells like just poo because I put tarps over it to block the rain and the snow. And I go and I lift up the tarp and I just get wafting of just sewage air. It's great. Living the dream. Nice. You know who is living the dream, Tim? Alex Ovechkin. 800 goals. Gets a hat trick. Versus the Chicago Blackhawks. None of them are empty netters, surprisingly. I thought all he did was score empty netters. Gets three. Up to 800. Very exciting. He's on a 53-goal pace this year. Who would have thought? Good for him.
Me. Everyone but you.
No, not everybody. I don't think he's going to get 53. I don't. He'll get 40. I think he gets 40, 35, 40. That's good. But then he's got to hit the wall at some point. He has to. There's no way he can sustain this. He's pretty much a one-man show on the Washington Capitals right now. Backstrom's playing all right. Kuznetsov, Oshie, yes, I get it, Mantha. They got some pieces. But Ovechkin is playing at a different level. What do you think of this? Did I get any love or negative feedback, or what happened? Because I know how calm people on social media are. Was it just a nice, like, hey, you're wrong, John. Better luck next time.
Well, it's funny, and I feel like I've said this a lot lately, but something on the ice happened. Something happened in the games last night. Then I get all these messages in the morning, or even the night of, the minute it happened. And this is one of those times, for sure, Ovechkin getting a hat trick. After you just talked like a couple of days ago about him not breaking that record. And so, yeah, people are just, they want you to admit that you're wrong. And they want you to admit that he's going to get, it's basically 2.5 seasons of average, by his standards, goal production. And he'll get there. Like he's 100 away, less than 100 away. And he's not slowing down. I don't know why you can think he wouldn't do it. And then, a couple of other cool stats just about this whole thing. You probably wouldn't buy into it all, the era adjusted goals and stats production record, basically like looking at how they compared to other guys in their era, because obviously even Gretzky wouldn't get 250 points now, right? And someone like McDavid would score more than 140 point force in the 80s, like just like that.
Here's my issue with that whole thing. It's like you just mentioned, their eras. People train differently.
Right.
People thought about hockey differently. If you would have said, Wayne Gretzky, we want you to train, think, eat, sleep hockey 24/7 in the summer, in the spring, in the fall, in the winter, he would have been a better hockey player. He put the bag away. So Gordie Howe, even worse. He had a job in the summer because he couldn't sustain, you know, hockey players didn't make a lot of money. So he would chuck it away and go and like work. So I don't like doing that. I get it. People are bigger and stronger and faster, and the goaltenders are bigger and stronger and faster. Training's different. Equipment's different. Everybody's better. So I buy into that maybe a little bit, but you can't do it.
Well, the point being that if you era adjusted means it kind of equalizes all that out. And if you buy into it, he's got the most gold already of all time based on era. And he's going to do it. He's one goal from tying Gordie Howe with 801. He's going to do it. He's going to do it, John. And I keep giving you these opportunities. I'll give you another one now. Just admit that he's going to break the record.
No, because I don't think he's 94 goals away.
Yep.
94. That's on his pace. It's two seasons. I don't think he maintains his pace. Jágr slowed down. Gordie Howe slowed down. Brett Hull slowed down in his later years. Marcel Dion slowed down in his later years. It's bound to happen. Brett Hull went from scoring 57, 70, 86, 72, and he slowly regressed. So went 43, 42, 32, 24, finished with 25 goals in his last full season of 81 games. Maybe Ovi plays 3-4 seasons and he just needs 25 per season. That gets him to 900. That's possible. I don't know. I'm a pessimist. I look at life glass half empty.
And so you've talked about like how they're putting him out there for like 2 minute shifts with an empty net and like helping pad his stats a little bit. Maybe so, whatever. I don't really care about that. But what's interesting, and this is sent in by a listener named Caleb, Ted Leonsis, who's the owner of the team, spoke.
Leonisis?
It's Leonsis. And he said,
no, it's not.
Leonisis. You're thinking about the Spartan King. And
didn't
so,
he kick that guy into the pit? Said, this is Washington? I'm confused.
But he said that he won't rebuild. No matter what's happening, he's not going to rebuild while Ovechkin chases the goals record. What do you think about that?
Well, he has to say that because Ovi just said before that, if you're going to rebuild, you can trade me. So, yeah. So this year is him not rebuilding. Last year was him not rebuilding. Great. They're doing fantastic.
The quote, I'm sure there'll be an influx of some young players, but we're not going to rebuild the team. To me, a rebuild is when you look the players, the coaches, the fans in the eye and say, we're going to be really, really bad. And if we were really, really bad, I don't think Alex would break the record. So, yeah, you're probably right. He's like, I don't want to be so bad that he doesn't want to be here. So,
well, because this is a big year for them. They are getting so much money off of the books. They're losing on the back end. Orlov, Jensen, Van Riemsdyk, Gustafsson, Irwin. Up front, they're losing Sonny Milano, Abe Kubel, Johansson, Sheary, Hathaway, Strom, Eller. That's a lot of money. That's almost $20 million if not more, they're losing off the books. So they could totally go into a rebuild, but it's hard to do a rebuild when you got Ovi, Kuznetsov, Ochi, Mantha, Carlson, Wilson, all signed long-term making big money. Backstrom as well. Like, these guys are all locked in for a long-term making a lot of money. Darcy Kuemper as well. So, like, what else can they do? They're strapped against the cap as it is. He's not going to say, yeah, full rebuild. Like, how are you going to rebuild? It's like the San Jose Sharks. Yeah, we're going to rebuild right now. We're going to do the same thing, though. We can't do anything. No one's going to take these guys off of our hands. Well, who's going to want to Kuznetsov making 7.8 for another 3 years? Nobody is.
No one. Yeah. We talked the other day about them winning 5 games in a row, but they haven't actually really gained any ground because the Rangers won 4 in a row and Pittsburgh won like 5 or 6 straight. So they're kind of still where they are. I think they'll probably sneak into that playoff spot when it's all said and done. But yeah, I don't know how excited we need to be about that team.
Jaromír Jágr, his last 8 years, his goal totals every year, 19, 16, 24, 17, 27, 16, and 1. Jágr's pretty good goal scorer. I'm just saying. Like, that guy knew how to score goals. So.
Okay, but you're talking about years like 43 through 49. Ovechkin's 37.
Oh, yeah.
So, and look at like Timu Solani. Didn't he score a bunch of goals? Listen to his last few seasons.
I don't think Jágr played at 49 in the NHL. Just want to throw that out there.
Okay. Yeah, we're never one to exaggerate on this show.
We're not. So if he was born in 72, 82, he started playing in 92. So he's going to be 30 in 2002. He's going to be 40 in 2012. So his 40 year is when I started. So 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. Not Ovi's too far off.
He's going to do it before he's 40.
Am I not allowed to have a different opinion from everybody else? Do we all have to drink the Kool-Aid? Do we all have to be on board with this?
It's just fun. And you're just the Debbie Downer.
I'm not the Debbie Downer. I'm the Richard Realistic. That's who I am.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. And if he makes it fantastic, I'll be right there. But I don't think he's going to. Who cares? I hope he gets 397 and beats the record, but I don't think he will. He's 37. He's turning 38 this year. He's not getting any younger. 38 next year, unless he's got a late, late birthday, which I don't think he does, but who cares, right? He was born almost the same birthday as me, September 17th. Look at us. Lots of stuff. Like, what were you going to say, Tim, before I cut you off so rudely?
I don't remember.
All right. One last thing. He took over the most goals scored since 16-17. He overtakes Austin Matthews with 275. Big deal? No big deal? Greatest goal scorer in the last, 8 years? Pretty neat, since Matthews just been lighting it up in Ovechkin. Nobody talks about him that much other than this goal record, but he's the greatest goal scorer ever to play the game. I say that every time we talk about this trash. No one gives me any credit for that. They just say, you're an idiot. I'm like, I don't think he's going to break the all-time goal scoring record in the NHL. That's not a bad thing. He's still a terrific hockey player. Wayne Gretzky is the great one for a reason. What's Ovechkin's nickname? The Great Eight?
Yeah. Alex the Great.
Kind of cool. What would your nickname be, Tim, if you were in the NHL?
Depends on like what kind of player I'd be, you know. What was yours? Did you ever have one?
Big John.
Big, yeah.
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 You have never thought about this? Did you have a nickname in like...
Yeah, in college, they called me Snip. Because like the very first tryout or scrimmage for club hockey, I scored a goal and snip. That's just what they called it.
You would just get cut right away. That's what I thought they were going to say. Yeah. Here comes Snip. Not making it past that first cut. Are you Snip?
And then snip my laces.
All right. Let's talk about friend of the show, Ryan Reeves, making an impact in Minnesota. Got traded earlier this month for a fifth rounder. I'd hate to make it about me, but I got traded for a fifth rounder to New York. He gets traded from New York to the Minnesota Wild for a fifth rounder. Strange trade. Minnesota has plenty of toughness in my eyes. They got Greenway. They got Foligno. They got some Middleton on the back end. They got a heavy team as it is. They wanted more. They go out and they get Ryan Reeves. And is he making his impact felt? He played the Detroit Red Wings last night, and he was just destroying guys all over the ice. There's a few questions I want to talk about here. First, the hit on Hronek. Did I nail it? Ronick?
Ronick.
Is it Ronick?
I don't know.
You don't know either. But anyways,
I think it is.
If you haven't watched this hit, everybody, go and watch it because it's just incredible. There's a lot of times where I watch games and I go, oh, that's a good play or oh, that's a bad play. There's a few times I'm like, what is this guy thinking? This was a perfect example of what the hell are you thinking, Ronick? He's skating up the ice in the middle of the ice in his D zone. There's a Minnesota Wild guy that kind of does a flyby and he checks him. But then what is he looking at? He's just looking off into the stands. And Reeves sees this. He does a little loop around. He goes to force the puck carrier. Ronick doesn't. Does he not notice the massive man that's coming out of? And Ryan Reeves said this, which shocked me. He said, honestly, he locked eyes with me, which I don't believe because he was looking in the stands. But he says he locked eyes with me like I saw him look at me. And then he just kind of turned his head and held on to the puck. I hope he's OK, but you got to know when I'm on the ice and definitely don't skate at me like that. That's what it looked like. He looked like he was sacrificing himself to Ryan Reeves. He's like, I'm going to do this. I love you, Ryan. And then Ryan just buries him. Absolutely crushes him. One of the hardest hits I've ever seen. And Reevesy wasn't even, Reevesy, Revo, Ryan. He wasn't even moving that fast. It reminded me, I hate to make it about myself. I nailed Grabowski the same way where I'm just gliding into him. And he buries Ronick. Chronic. It was beautiful hit. Perfectly clean. Perfectly clean hit. Then he fights Ben Sherratt, Chariot, later on that game. And just, it was a nothing fight, but everybody thought, this is what I like Ryan Reeves, friend of the show, multi-time friend of the show. Don't point at your muscle. I don't need that. I don't need that. You didn't even hit him with, you didn't connect with a punch. Sherratt didn't want to be there. he's diving into you. And you hit him on the head, helmet once, and you're pointing to your muscle, but whatever. What did you think of the whole situation? Because I have another question after this. I want to hear your answer.
I love the hit. Clean. I would say it's clean. You could see there was definitely a contact to the head, and he grabs his head right away. You watch the clip, and he's definitely shaken up. But Reeves does everything right here. I mean, he's gliding. He turned. He did. There's no strides happening. He doesn't lift his elbow. He doesn't jump into it. He just straight drops his shoulder and levels him out. It's exactly what he's supposed to do. That's what he get paid to do. And so, yeah, no, I loved it. I loved it.
Me too. Here's my question. Ben Sherratt, like I said, had to answer for that hit. Detroit has no toughness whatsoever. They've been like this for years. It's funny how they worked as a team. They win multiple Stanley Cups with toughness on their teams. You got Darren McCarty. You got Kirk Maltby. Not that he's tough. Chris Draper. Tons of sandpaper on your team. Toughness. Win all those Stanley Cups. Ken Holland comes in, changes the whole dynamic, brings in all these flitty, flighty Europeans, not tough at all. Not that Europeans aren't tough. There are some tough guys that I've fought along the way, but for the most part, they're, you know, not tough. And now they just lose. Like, why not get toughness? You have all these good young players. If you're the Detroit Red Wings, you got Mo Sider, you got Lucas Raymond, you got a lot of other young guys that I'm not thinking of right now. Why not get some toughness? So if something like this does happen, you don't have to have Ben Sherratt, who you brought in to pair alongside Mo Sider. I think he makes five schmel. These guys making a lot of money. Do you want him going up and challenging the toughest guy in the NHL to a fight, potentially getting injured, and then him having to sit out for 5 minutes? I think he got an instigator as well. What's the point of that? So why not bring in somebody? Bring it. You got Soderblom. You got a lot of good young players that could get injured by Ryan Reeves flying around. And I tell you what, if there's another tough guy, maybe Revo doesn't fly around as much. Or at least if he does get into a fight, he's fighting another tough guy and not your highest paid defenseman. Now, am I off base? Do we need a tough guy for Detroit to protect these young kids? Your investment?
Yeah, probably. Not just the young kids, but you've got a couple of guys on that team that are really going to agitate the opposing players on certain nights, like a Perron, like a Cop. They're really good at getting under the skin of those guys, but they're probably not going to fight. And if they do fight, it's not going to be anyone big and heavy. So, yeah, you probably do need someone to protect those guys and hold other players accountable. But there's not that many guys in the league that can do it anymore. It's not like every team in the league is going to have a player. There's not many guys like Reeves, but even I don't know who, some of them have a name, Delorier and McDermott. There's not 32 of them anymore. So they're not all.
There's probably like 10, but just have somebody who can hold their own. You know what I mean? A sacrificial lamb, like we talked about, Chronic. Just a guy who can, okay, Reeves is getting out of hand. I'm going to fight him. It's going to be me. And not the defenseman you brought in to, you know, be a stay-at-home, tough, physical defenseman. You don't want him fighting. You know, go get like a Luke Shen. You know what I mean? Something like that. He'll stand in there. He'll get punched in the face, but he's not going to cost you anything if he gets hurt. It's like, all right, you did your job. Moving on, Tim. Gary Bettman. Or should we do DoorDash? What do you want to do?
I'm a little hungry.
You know what you should do?
What should I do?
You should use DoorDash, Tim, because we know you're not making anything. Right? You don't cook anymore. Your back hurts. Get out of bed. You're not feeling good. You don't want to go into the kitchen and, you know, preheat the oven and this and that. Use DoorDash. It's fantastic. It'll get you whatever you want. It'll bring you some medicine, Tim, for your icky back. You're probably a big medicine guy. You get a little bit of a sniffles. You're just down in pills, chugging syrup. Just, you don't want to feel bad at all. And he gets it from DoorDash. And you can too. Tim saves a ton of money on all his drugs and food because he gets everything on DoorDash. You get 25% off. You get free delivery. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You can be just like Tim if you use our promo code GlovesDDUS if you're in the US of A, or just GlovesDD if you're in Canada. Tim uses them. It's great. You should too. DoorDash gets you whatever you want, however you want it, when you want it. It's a beautiful company. It's a match made in heaven, isn't it, DoorDash and you, Tim?
Yeah, it's where I get all my drugs, like you said. So,
how many drugs do you take a week, do you think? On average, per pound.
Do you count vitamins and supplements? Yeah.
Well, those are just wasted. Like, they don't even do anything. You might as well just burn your money. Those things don't do a thing. But yeah, we can count those.
My doctor said the same thing. So yeah, you're probably right.
Well, because the doctor gets money from the vitamin companies. Obviously, he's going to, take this vitamin as he cashes a check from whatever stupid vitamin you're taking.
Yeah, your local family practice doctor is not getting any money from you buying a daily multivitamin.
Oh, they definitely do.
That's not how it works. I buy the gummy ones.
It works
great.
The same thing here in engineering, where we'll have someone come in like, hey, spec us, let's, you know, do business. And we spec certain things.
So you and the engineering are in line with the drug companies?
No, but like HVAC companies or this and that, exhaust fans, whatever it is. Okay. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You don't know. You just keep your rose-colored glasses on. You'll be fine.
Just, yeah.
Continue to be high as a kite.
Yeah.
It ain't hard. It ain't hard. You know what is hard? The cap.
This Christmas, why not give someone a scratch card?
You know what's great? It's a last-minute gift.
Yeah.
Scratch cards.
We've got a tradition. We hide them in the crackers that we've made. So we put a scratch card in each of those.
Oh, wicked.
Do you scratch it all off at once, or do you do, like, section by section?
Yeah, bit by bit.
To build up the tension?
Yeah.
Sort of like, ooh, next square, ooh. It's such a great gift.
Yeah, it's fun.
Gift the scratch card with the National Lottery. Please gift responsibly. Rules and procedures apply. Plus must be 18 or over.
Did you know you can turn loyal listeners into paying fans with podcast subscriptions? Acast Plus is the simplest and easiest way to launch subscriptions for your show. It comes with all the tools you need to offer listeners ad-free streams, bonus content, and much more across multiple podcast apps. And it works too. We've seen creators increase revenue by 25% using Acast Plus. To find out more, visit acast.com/Acast Plus.
Gary Bettman was waxing poetically earlier this year. Oh, the cap's going to raise $5 million, Tim. It's going to go up. The year after that, it's going to be $7 million. The year after that, it's going to be $10 million. We're going to be at $90 million before you know it. It's going to be fantastic. We got all this money, Tim. It's coming out of everywhere. We're coming out of COVID. Things are growing. Things are looking great. We got a big new TV deal. Oh, it's fantastic. We're on ESPN Plus. Did you know that? ESPN Plus. It's great. We got ads on the boards. We got ads on the helmet. We got a brand new expansion team, Seattle. They gave everybody tons of money. We have so much money, Tim. The cap's going to go insane. Owners, get ready. You're going to go on a signing bonanza. Get ready, players. You're going to have so much money in your pocket, you're not going to know what to do with. Gary Bettman was just living life. It was like, what was it, 4 months ago, I think he was projecting all that trash. Was that it?
Yeah, I don't remember it quite the same way you do, but yeah, a few months ago.
Who said that was completely BS? Do you remember who said that?
You've been saying that since day one.
Yeah, because Bettman's the biggest snake rat, slimy lawyer douche we've ever had. He's the worst. He's the absolute worst. And here's the fruits of his labor. The cap's raising by $1 million next year, potentially. One. Are you kidding me? $1 million?
Is that even matching inflation?
No. That's the funny thing when all this is said and done. Inflation is raising. I'm not an accountant, but I guarantee you if the NHL were to keep up with inflation, cost of living, cost of things, this and that, how much team pay, how much players play, you would have to increase the cap by $6 million, $7 million, right? Because I think the inflation now is at 6 or 7, 8% or whatever it is. So maybe it's only 4 or 5 million. But yeah, the players are losing money. Like it's insane to me. People are upset, rightfully so. But the players agreed to this deal. What are you going to do? The owners held them over a barrel during COVID in the last arbitration meeting and said, hey, do you want to play hockey or not? We're just as happy to do neither. We don't care. And the players gave them everything they wanted. They said, we'll pay you back all of the losses from the COVID lockouts, all of the losses for when we went into the bubble where we didn't have fans, where we didn't have gates, where we didn't have concessions, where we didn't have parking. We didn't have any money coming into the system. But we'll pay you salaries. But guess what? You're going to have to pay us back all the money that we lost. The players said, oh, yeah, sure. Stupidest deal I've ever seen. So now, remember the big debt that the players thought that was going to get paid off after this year? They still owe $70 million, Tim. $70 million. And I saw some people, well, just why don't they just buck up and pay it right now? All the players, you know, just take an extra slice off the top and pay them that money. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to average this out for 10 years because you're not going to saddle the bet with one player who then retires in his last year of his contract. He only gets 30% of what he makes. So it's not that cut and dry. And you have to account for next year. The league is going to lose money again. It's not like the league's flush with money this year and they're making money. There's a reason players pay escrow every single year. It's because the league loses money. So the players have to pay escrow to pay off the loss for this year. And then they have to pay more to pay off the losses during the COVID lockout. So the players are just, they're hemorrhaging money at this point. I know they're rich. They're one percenters, just net. But for a guy making league minimum, just say he's making $800,000, $855,000, he's only going home with $200,000+, I would guess, which is a lot. But for a kid playing in the NHL for 3-4 years, this is his dream, and he's only going to walk away with $600,000-$700,000, and that's it. Then what do I do with my life? It's not that much money. So why is this happening, Tim? What's going on? Do you know?
I don't. This is the one area where a lot of this stuff is over my head, especially when we get into escrow. And it makes sense when you explain it, but no one talks about it until a problem comes up or like this time of year. And then these meetings come out and guys like Frank and other people are reporting on it. And you're like, oh, right, that whole thing. And then the players, I mean, is this like any situation you saw when you were in those meetings or is it way worse?
Well, the COVID definitely amplifies it. That injected a lot of money into the system that the players had to owe, but just taking that out of the equation, you have a team. You have 31 teams in the NHL. They're all expected to make money. I would say 20% make money. That's it. The other 80% either break even or they lose money. There's not a lot of teams that are profitable. When you throw into the equation that one team is playing in front of 5,000 fans, that's you're not making money in that situation. You throw into the equation another team is playing in Florida. They are selling less tickets than the Arizona Coyotes are, the Florida Panthers, at this point in the season. You're not making a lot of money. Carolina's not making money. Dallas isn't making money. All of these teams, San Jose is not making money. Anaheim. Things were good in the NHL when those teams were Stanley Cup contenders, and then they were making a little bit of money. Anaheim sucks. San Jose sucks. LA is not playing where they should. They're not playing great. Dallas is not a hockey market. Carolina is not a great hockey market. Florida is not winning. Tampa Bay, maybe they have a little bit of, you know, hangover from so many Stanley Cups in a row. They're not making money from the teams in the South. So for the players to have any chance of not paying a ton of money in escrow this year, I don't know who tweeted it out, but it's definitely true. We talked about it as players. We're like, gosh, I hope Toronto has a good playoff run. I hope Boston has a good playoff run. I hope Calgary and Edmonton and these teams have massive playoff runs, because that's where the money comes from. An average ticket price for a Stanley Cup game in Dallas for a good seat, it's like $200, $250, versus a prime seat in Toronto is going to go $5,000 for a Stanley Cup game. You know what I mean? It's vastly different. And all that money gets rolled up into the HRR, hockey-related revenue. So you want the higher, the bigger teams to do well versus the teams in the South. Tampa Bay making the Stanley Cup Finals, Dallas making the Stanley Cup Finals, does nothing for the players. It puts no money in their pocket at all. You want a Stanley Cup Finals right now of Edmonton and Toronto. You're making a ton of money. New York versus, who's another Western? Calgary. Big market teams. Every team in Canada you want to go far. The fact that Ottawa's doing not great, Montreal's kind of skidding, that's not good for the NHL right now. So, stupid Gary Bettman. The owners are happy. The owners are ecstatic right now. So they go, okay, if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm making a ton of money, hand over fist. I'm expecting to pay money in the next season. The cap's going to raise. And I go, oh, great. Then he puts Arizona in a 5,000-seat arena. He's like, oh, fantastic. We're going to lose a ton of money. So when it all balances out, Toronto's making $800 million. Arizona's losing $400 million. Oh, and then you got Florida. They're losing a couple hundred million. So all those dumpy teams in the South, they balance out Toronto. And it's not like Toronto's going to give Arizona a couple hundred schmil. That's not what's happening. Arizona makes up their money because the players give them money. Toronto walks away with a Brinks truck full of money. That's how it works. So those owners love it. Jeremy Jacobs loves it. He's like, oh, you want to put a team in New Mexico? I love that idea. Love it. Fantastic. You want just a backyard rink? It's great. Because he knows he's not going to put money in the system because the salary cap's not going to raise. So he's still going to make his money. The players are going to make up for the just terrible decision-making of Gary Bettman. And the only person that hurts is the players. And the cap doesn't rise. So it's so dumb. You look at basketball. I know they get more money based on TV and sponsorships just because they're more marketable. Basketball, LeBron, Duncan, that's fun. They're not any more popular than hockey is. That's where we used to gauge our success, because baseball's a juggernaut. Football's an absolute just monster. You can't compete with them. We would kind of gauge basketball a little bit, try to keep up with them. Basketball's taken off. Hockey is getting less popular. So is he growing the game? Is he really growing the game? Hockey is getting less popular year on year, whereas basketball's taken off. He's doing it like... This is a family-friendly show, so I can't get it. He's doing a bad job. He's a bad, bad, bad commissioner. But the owners love him because the owners are making money. He's not growing the game. He's not putting any money into the system. The cap should be $100 million right now. There will be a time very soon in the future when one player in the NBA per year is making more than an entire NHL team. You mark my words. I think LeBron makes $40 million right now. Does he not? Something like that. Give it 5 years. Give it 5 years. 5 to 10 years. One player will be making like $80 million. Stupid. And then, yeah, it's a complete joke. Sorry. Complete. I hate this stuff. Gary Bettman. He's the biggest reason why the NHL hasn't grown in the last 20 years. But the owners love him.
It's funny. I'm reminded of that tweet from earlier this year where the Hurricanes beat the Bruins, and they kind of roasted him in a tweet. And Marchand responded with, "You're still the reason we pay 20% in escrow." And that's cool. The stuff that people don't like. So someone's going to listen to this show and be like, okay, John Scott doesn't know what he's talking about. The league doesn't lose money. They're doing great. But it's way more nuanced than that. And it's like, okay, maybe the league loses money in the short term, but they make up for it by taking it out of the players' pockets. And so at the end, they come out on top. But as a business, they're not profitable for certain years at a time. So that's kind of how we... Is that fair to say?
If they did not lose money, there would be no escrow.
Right.
The definition of the escrow, the reason it was put in, was to make the owners whole. They said they lost money. That's what they contend. And so in order for them to make up for their investments, which they say, and they doubled down and said, we're going to grow the game. So we want to, you know, we have to put money into the system, into the local area. We're going to start, you know, grassroots stuff in Arizona. We're going to start grassroots, you know, hockey programs. They haven't done anything, but that's why they needed to be made whole. That was the whole idea of escrow. We have to be a part of that. And so we signed off on it. It was the worst decision to ever agree to an escrow with no cap. We had the option of having a cap on escrow. Thank you, Trevor Linden, you idiot. He said, no, hockey's going to grow. We should fight for something else. You know, let's go for this, do something else. No cap on escrow. We'll be fine. Next thing you know, we're staring at a 20% escrow and they're asking for more. It's insane. Absolutely insane. But no, yeah, they lose money every single season in the NHL. That's what they say. And Gary does it on purpose, so the larger owners can walk away with money in their pocket. The Craig Leopolds, the Jeremy Jacobs, the Toronto Maple Leafs, whatever it is, the sports entertainment, whatever it is. Yeah, it's they're making a ton of money. So escrow, good for them. Bettman, he's such a douche. Honestly, I really, he's doing his job. He's doing a job. All right, let's do some quick hits and let you want me to see my head explode here.
Keeping up on keeping tabs on friend of the show, Kirby Doc, got his 20th point the other night. He's got a career high. His career high is 26 in 70 games last season. He's got 20 points in 29 this year. So really seeing a nice breakout season for him, and he keeps rolling on that top line for the Habs. Another crazy thing, the Ducks now, we talked about this a little bit last week. They played 30 games even. They have one, they finally got one regulation win. They're on pace for 46 points when there are teams that are going to win 50 games. They are minus 60 goal differential. So if you do the math, 30 games, they're averaging losing by 2 goals a game every single night, which is just crazy. They're 32nd in goals for, 32nd in goals against, and they've had the lead for just 11.2% of all the minutes that they played. It's we talked about the Coyotes last year and how bad they were. The Ducks might be worse. I don't remember having these types of stats for the Yotes last year. Well, I don't know what's going on. And then think about a guy like Klingberg, who signed a one-year deal, a bet on himself, trying to get a bridge contract, work himself into a better deal after he couldn't sign with Dallas. And he signed with the worst team in the league. He's not doing anything. It's a bummer.
They've played 1,800 minutes regulation time. I know they played some overtime. They've had the lead for only 200 minutes. Imagine being on that team. It would be so depressing. They suck. They're a bad team. People expected more. You know, they had a good year last year. Pat Verbeek, I thought, had this team at least turned in the right direction. Didn't you? They were making all the right moves. They weren't giving in to players' contract demands. They were making hard decisions, letting people go. What happened? What happened to the Ryan Stroms, the Troy Terry, the Trevor Zegras, all these players, the young, good, exciting defensemen? It's where's Isaac Lundstrom when you need him? He's hurt. That's a big reason why they're not succeeding. But boy, oh boy, it ain't looking good for the Anaheim Ducks, Tim. Good for them. They're really dumping it up. One regulation win in 30 games. Oof. That's hard to do.
It was all flash and no substance, apparently. Like some pretty cool goals and some flashy highlight reel stuff from guys like Terry and Zegras. And then you had Milano last year. And then just there's no substance to it. There's nothing there. You peel off the first layer and it's empty.
They just keep trying to flip it over the net. It's like, you guys, stop. We got to win again.
Everyone loved us when we did it last year. Let's keep trying.
We got to go viral again. I need it. All right. One more. The captain of the Vancouver Canucks, Bo Horvat, finally issued a statement based on his future with the team. What did he say, Tim?
Yeah. So all this trade rumors swirling and stuff and asking if he was going to ask for a trade. So we just kind of put it out there. He said, I am focused on this season and playing for the Vancouver Canucks, helping the team in any way I can. I will not have any further comments this year about my future. What's the between the lines there, John? Is there anything we can take out of that?
Well, what do you think? He's not coming back. Yeah, he's gone. Do you think even if they do have the room, just say they do get rid of Brock Besser, just say they do maybe offload an Oliver Ekman-Larsson, they find a trade partner for him that he's happy to go to, and they free up some cap space. If you're Bo Horvat, do you want to come back to this team? They made a priority of signing friend of the show, JT Miller, when they could have been negotiating with me. They put all their eggs in that basket. So just say they do. Find some money and they say, hey, Bo, we'll give you eight years, same as JT. What do you, 8 years, $8 million. Are you in? What do you think he's going to say?
Well, this is the human element of it, because you know he loves the city. And then it's like you think about his wife and his kids. And he's like, if I can come out of this being making $50 million over the course of a contract while being in a place where my family loves, like, I'll do it. You know what I mean? And so from a hockey reason, no, this is not a team that's going to be, you want to hit your wagon to when you can go be, wear an A on a really good team, play for a Stanley Cup every year. But from a human being perspective, maybe we've seen a lot of guys sign with bad teams and you kind of wonder why. And it's the personal reason. So I don't know. I'm not in his head. Maybe. What do you think?
I think he's gone. I think he's absolutely gone. Even if they do find money for him, I would be. I don't know. You know, you got Pettersson, you got Garland, you got Miller, you got Mikheyev. Yeah, it's not a bad team, but they got no defense. If I'm him, I'm going to make money somewhere, go make it somewhere else and have a potential to win. Because right now, I think we know who the Vancouver Canucks are. Right? We know who they are. They're a bad defensive team who can score some goals, although they did beat Calgary last night in a shootout. So they are showing some signs of life. They're playing better. It's amazing how teams, year after year after year, even they do the same thing. Vancouver has been terrible to start the season the last 3 years. You think they would really buckle down and say, hey, guys, we really need to start out better this year. No, just terrible again. And then they finally find their game and they just, oh, well, something clicked. We'll be better next year. No, it'd still be bad. It's amazing.
That's going to happen. They'll probably win like 13 of their last 20 games and they'll just miss the playoffs. And everyone will be like, okay, we finally got something. We're going to start it off next year. And then they'll do the same thing.
Yeah. And they could still make the playoffs as crazy as it is, as bad as their start. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're 6 points behind LA for that third and final Western Conference playoff spot. Or sorry, the wild card. They're even closer. They're 5 behind Edmonton. And they have a couple games in hand on LA. So they'll make it in. They'll lose in the first round. And they go, gosh, like, if only. They're so bad at defense. They give up a ton of goals. But they also score a ton. They're just they're a fun team to watch. If you want to go watch an entertaining hockey game, just go watch the Vancouver Canucks. You're going to see goals, regardless of who's scoring them. They can't keep them out of their net, but they can score a ton. So I don't know, but I don't think Bo Horvat signs. I think Vancouver does sneak into the playoffs and they just ruin their chance to rebuild anything. So all that being said, thank you everybody for joining us. We think we've got a pretty fancy interview tomorrow, don't we, Tim? We can't say who. Not yet.
We can.
Josh Morrissey from the Winnipeg Jets.
That'll be fun.
Pretty high end guy. He's kind of working. He doesn't know if he has a day off. That's the issue. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully he does. But you guys will find out tomorrow whether it's a Josh Morrissey interview or just Tim and I arguing about his indecisiveness. So either way, it's going to be great. Right, Tim?
Yes, it'll be fun. I hope he comes on.
If you would have been paying attention, you would have said maybe. I don't know.
It'll be nice. Yeah, I don't know.
Because you would have played into the indecisiveness angle. That's how connected we are. We're just like frickin'
finish each other's
sandwiches. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.
This Christmas, why not give someone a scratch card?
You know what's great is a last-minute gift.
Yeah.
Scratch cards.
We've got a tradition. We hide them in the crackers that we've made. So we put a scratch card in each of those.
Oh, wicked.
Do you scratch it all off at once, or do you do, like, section by section?
Yeah, bit by bit.
To build up the tension?
Yeah.
Sort of like, ooh, yeah. Next square, ooh. Yeah. It's such a great gift.
Yeah, though. It's fun.
Gift the scratch card with the National Lottery. Please gift responsibly. Rules and procedures apply. Plus must be 18 or over.